Today, Pastor Ray Bentley points out, we often think about getting into heaven, but we don't often think about heaven getting into us.
Heaven has already entered you. The Lord is what heaven's all about. Wherever Jesus is heaven. There's heaven in you. But if you want to experience more heaven, you have to seek the Lord. Those who seek after me with everything they've got will find me.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Some often make the mistake of thinking the physical world and the spiritual world never connect. In reality, they're intertwined. And today, Pastor Ray shows us how the glory of God resides inside believers, as does heaven itself. It's a fascinating part of the new covenant, which we'll study today.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. And I'm going to be talking about the new covenant. Now, beginning, I'll go ahead and start in verse 1 of chapter 8. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest. So the whole thing here is he is in a section comparing the old covenant of the law with the new covenant we now have in Christ. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So all of that to say, he's saying our high priest is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's an eternal priesthood. It's a better priesthood. And we have a better covenant. The new covenant's better than the old. And it's based on better promises. Jesus didn't just enter into the earthly tabernacle, which Moses had made as a copy, shadow, model, replica of the real one. Jesus entered into the real tabernacle in heaven, and stays there, and is seated there, and is enthroned there, and intercedes for us there as our priest forever. Now, beginning in verse 6, and we pick up where we left off. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and say, 'Know the Lord,' for he shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now, from those verses, what I want to do is give to you, and I've put this in your notes, four reasons that the writer of Hebrews gives us that the new covenant is better than the old. The old is the Ten Commandments, and from those, there are many, many other laws that add up to 613. All of those 613 fall under the various categories of the 10, and they are called the law, usually called the law of Moses. Now that we are in the new covenant with Christ, we read in the new covenant, we are no longer under the law, but we are now in Christ Jesus. How many of you are glad that we're no longer under the law? Amen. It's a good thing. So the new covenant is superior. First of all, it is a superior inwardness. The problem with the old covenant was that it was by its very nature external. It was written on stone. But the laws, you know, there they are written in stone. You could go up to them and you could read them. But the laws, which were holy and righteous and good, could not leap off of the stone and enter inside of you or empower you to live what they demanded. There was a limitation to them. What's interesting is in Exodus, you know, after the law was given to Moses, and here's the two tablets, and Moses delivers the law to the people, here's what the nation Israel said: "We will do everything and perform everything that you have asked. We will do it." And the rest of the history of the Old Testament and the Old Covenant is basically how they didn't. They fell short. They were not able. They were not capable. Even if they tried, they could not fulfill or keep the law. Now, we come to the New Covenant. In the New Covenant, God, you know, and the writer of Hebrews is saying, why would God give a new covenant if the old one was okay? And the problem with the old covenant wasn't with the law. The problem was obviously with the people. So God says in the new covenant, I will. I will do it this time. And it's going to be an inward thing. This time, I'm not going to write my law on the tablets of stone. I'm going to write my will in your mind, and I'm going to write it inside of your heart. My will, my way, my nature, my character, my holiness, my righteousness, my justice, my love, joy, peace. And then when I write it there, I will empower you to do the very things that I ask. You will bear my nature. You will be my children. I will put my law in their mind. My law's in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts. What an awesome, amazing, and wonderful thing. This is a much deeper inwardness that we have in the new covenant. I put into the notes 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that describes this. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You may participate in the divine nature. Why? Because it's in you. That's the new covenant. And I speak very respectfully, but I speak the truth from the Bible when I say to all of you that believe in Jesus Christ and have received Jesus Christ and his Spirit inside of your heart, you are a partaker of the divine nature. The glory of the Lord is inside of you. And he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That is an awesome thing. You can't get any more inward than being in your mind and in your heart. Now, it is planted in as it says, the seed of the gospel and the beginnings of that life. And it grows, and there is a maturing process, just like a child is conceived and then grows and then is born and develops into maturity. The maturity, yes, is out in front of us. But that good work which has begun, God is able to finish. He is able to bring it to full maturity. It's gonna happen. And that's the good news. Now, not only do we have in the new covenant a superior inwardness, but along with that, the new covenant brings a deeper relationship than the old covenant was able to provide. While a deeper relationship was promised in the old covenant, God said through the law to Israel, you're my people and I'm your God. Only a few people really experienced it though. You have your, you know, Abraham and Sarah, and you've got Moses and maybe Ruth and David and others. But by and large, people, they were constantly rebelling and running away and not really experiencing what God truly desired. In the new covenant, all who partake of the new covenant have this deep relationship where God says, you are my son and you are my daughter. And he says it right there. Look with me in verse 10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God takes ownership, and there is a glorying in it. There is a joy in it. Now, it's true that God is the God of every star. God is the God of all the universe. He is the God of all the galaxies. He is the God of every bird that flies. He is the God of the mountains and of the, you know, valleys and the trees and all of the fish under the sea. And that is true, that God is the God of all of those things. But he doesn't usually personalize it in that way. He doesn't say, I'm the God of the stars and of this and that and the other. But he specifically says about humanity, I will be their God and they shall be my people. He is proud of mankind, who's made uniquely in all of the vast universe after his image and after his own likeness.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's a blessing to hear from listeners, especially when a particular message has spoken to them in a meaningful way.
Dear Ray Bentley, your current messages have been so encouraging to me. I hope it will be also for my husband. We have purchased a fixer-upper house, and it has caused continual financial and emotional stress. Please accept this small donation and send us your message titled, Sinking or Walking on Water. Thank you, and God bless.
When you hear a message that speaks to you, get a permanent copy of it to have for the future or to share with someone else. You can order at raybentley.com. Again, go to our website, raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, I wanted to share something with you that it's going to take me a little while to bring this point around, but bear with me just for a moment. We were talking about heaven, and one of the things is that for us, it's hard, you know, to imagine heaven. We think of it as this, you know, it's a fluffy, cloudy place, kind of ethereal, and we don't really know. It's very bright, and people wear white clothing, but that's as far as often we go. He goes, no, I want to bring to you that heaven and earth, there's a continuity between them, that literally heaven is coming to the earth and the new earth will be revisited. Eden will be restored. In fact, the earth's beauty and glory and pleasures even are a foretaste of what is to come in heaven. There's a continuity from one life to the next. That's what God the Father, I believe, is saying here in the new covenant. I'll be in your minds. You'll have your own mind, but my mind will be in there and my thoughts will have access and I'll be able to speak to you and communicate to you on the deepest level. And I will also be in your heart. I will be able to literally, from the inside, pour my own emotions and love and joy and peace. Your heart will begin to experience it in this beautiful oneness and you will be my sons and my daughters. I will be your God and you will be my people. Not only is there a deeper relationship, so there's a superior inwardness, a deeper relationship. Thirdly, a greater knowledge. We will know the Lord. He says again, where is it here? Verse 10, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. We will know the Lord. We will know God Almighty. We will know the creator of the universe. Now, that doesn't mean we'll know everything about him or understand everything about him. I don't think that when we get to heaven, we're all like omniscient and we know everything and just sit and hum or whatever. We're going to learn still. We're going to grow. There's no way we can totally know God. That's why eternity is going to be so fun and awesome. Going, as C.S. Lewis described it, further up and further in to the presence of the glory of the Lord. It's going to be awesome. Now, Philippians 3:10, Paul describes what that's like here upon the earth to know Christ. So let's read this scripture out loud together. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You can begin to know the Lord now. You don't have to just say, well, I'm saved and I guess I'll live my life and then in heaven on we'll begin this exciting journey. No. If I could put it this way, heaven can begin now. What I'm saying to you is that heaven has already entered you now. The divine nature is heaven. The Lord is what heaven's all about. Wherever Jesus is heaven. There's heaven in you. Now, in this world, though, you have to, as it were, it's one thing to open your heart, Christ is Savior. But if you want to experience more heaven, you have to seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Those who seek after me with everything they've got will find me. A relationship takes two people who are passionate about each other. God is by his very nature passionate, seeking, searching, you know, knocking. He wants to go further, deeper inside of you, but you have to yield to it. How do you do it? Philippians 3:10. Paul put it this way, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, the only reason you need to know resurrection is if you're also experiencing the effects of a death. That's the sorrows of this world. So we come to know and appreciate the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Jesus suffered, and he even was crucified, and then he died, but he rose from the dead. Becoming like him in his death means that nothing shall overpower you. Nothing shall overshadow you. The glory of the Lord. Light is greater than darkness. Love is the most powerful thing in the universe because God is love. God is light. God is holy. God is pure. He overcomes everything. And you can begin to experience that overcoming power, presence, life. And even heaven can begin to grow inside of you. In your mind, within your heart, now. There's a greater knowledge than was available in the old covenant. And finally, fourthly, eternal forgiveness is offered in the new covenant, whereas the old covenant gave a kind of a temporary forgiveness. He says this in verse 12, for I will be merciful, we're still, and by the way, he's quoting here the prophet Jeremiah, all the italics starting in verse 9 or 8, is a quotation from the prophet Jeremiah about the new covenant. So the fourth point he makes is in verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. This is exactly what the old covenant could not do. Under the old covenant, sins were never completely forgiven. Do you know why? Because God never forgot them. The word atonement means covered over. So let's say you've got a pile of garbage. The idea of covering it is you take a big blanket or canvas and you cover it over. Well, the pile is still there and it's still rubbish underneath. Well, but at least it's covered over. You don't have to look at it, but you know it's there and you remember it's there. But it never really was put away or done with. And the reason is God still remembered. But when Jesus came, now it wasn't just, and the reason that the sacrifices didn't really put away sin is, I mean, quite logical. How can a lamb pay for the sins of a human being? But God, he instituted that sacrificial system to ingrain within the people and within the world the concept and prepare the way and present a picture for what was ultimately the Lamb of God. A human being. Listen carefully. There's only one time in the entire history of the human race that God ever asked or required a human sacrifice, and that was his only begotten son, Jesus. Him only he allowed to come, and that's what, you know, Good Friday is about. That's what communion's all about. That's what the cross, that's why it's so powerful. Is because now the sins from Adam until not only our generation, but until whoever children are born until the Lord comes, all of humanity and the sins of them were laid upon Christ. The wages of sin is death. And so here is the eternal Son of God, the Ancient of Days, who has no beginning or end, the Alpha and the Omega. He was the eternal Son. He had no beginning. Yes, he had an earthly beginning when he was incarnated here for 33 years, but he was already eternally existent. But he came, became a man, and then died. He paid for our sins. Here's the awesomeness, though, of the new covenant. For the first time in all of history, when God the Father in heaven saw the sacrifice and the love of his Son, God loved us. He sent his Son. Jesus willingly gave his life for us because he loved us too. And the Spirit was in Christ because he wanted to come into the minds and the hearts and the bodies of all who would trust in him. When God saw the blood sacrifice of his Son, the Lamb of God, for the first time in human history, God said, everything that was under the pile, I now forget. Now you say, well, how can God forget anything? God's God. The only way that God can forget anything is if he wills to do it. And God said in the new covenant, I will to forget the sins. Do you realize what that means? It's not just that they are erased. They do not exist. They're gone for all time and for all eternity. And that's why heaven is going to be so awesome. When we get to heaven also, we will no longer remember them. One of the difficulties that God must be using to train us here is that we still remember all the stupid things we did. That's what makes it so hard, is that we remember them even though we know we're forgiven. But the good news is when we go there, he will wipe all tears away from their eyes and he will give us that same gift and they will remember. We won't be able to remember our sins. He says, I will remember their sins no more. And that's why heaven is going to be so awesome. How many are glad he won't remember our sins? How good is that?
Pastor Ray Bentley is showing how each new bend in the road in our studies of Hebrews reveals more good news for the child of God. Glad you're along today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, The Cup of the New Covenant. It's available on CD for a gift of any amount. And again, the title, The Cup of the New Covenant. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available a great resource of yours, the booklet Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. The psalmist was no stranger to that kind of dark cloud, was he?
No, and David, you're right. In the Psalms, David, the psalmist, writes from his own personal experience. He was very transparent in his times of desperation. Here was a man after God's own heart, and this is by the Lord's estimation. And he had tremendous faith, tremendous love, a sweet spirit of worship and praise. And yet David was a human being, and none of us can escape that. And in our humanity, there are going to be all kinds of blows that we take. Sometimes they're mental, sometimes they're physical, sometimes they're emotional. And so we just pray in the name of Jesus that God will have grace and mercy upon us in those times.
And I know that you've got a resource that will help kind of reinforce those principles, don't you?
Yes, we do. It's called Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. And it's really a booklet that came out of the scriptures, but also out of my life experience as a pastor, as a child of God, as a believer, in finding hope and then strength and even finding victory in our darkest hour.
All right. Well, we hope you'll let us send you a copy of Pastor Ray's important booklet, Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. We'll send it to say thank you for your gift of any amount. It's your support that allows us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So we hope you'll make them possible with your donation today. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.